So he knows that in Indian cooking there are many different flavors. In the West there is salty and sweet. But in Indian cooking there's also bitter, sour, pungent, and astringent. There are six flavors.
Горко и терпко.
Pungent, astringent. Okay, good. Study. Sankhya philosophy of third kind of Bhagavad Gita. Is that how you know from that? State of mind. So, but anyway, the sweet that is considered in a meal, the sweet is usually considered the best item. And I see among Western devotees that among all the things they can cook the sweets best, actually. Anyway, the point here is that the sweet among all different items, the sweet thing is the best, and among sweet things, the holy name is the sweet thing. Usually, if you take sweets, if you take more and more, after some time, you think, oh, I don't want anymore. In about 76, I was living in our temple in London, in central London. It's not so much before that. But there were some court cases they were trying to, the neighbors were trying to remove us from the building, which they did. So one of their complaints is that there were too many people living in the building than was legal allowed, which was true about 5 times. So to try to fight the court case, we just cut the number of devotees living there down to the minimum, just to worship the deities and continue the activities. Now one consequence of that was that there was heaps of Mahaprasad. Whereas previously the devotees used to get this much Mahaprasad, now there was so much they couldn't take it out. So there were big plates of sweets, so many rasgullas, so much rich prasad. And devotees were thinking, how nice would it be to have some simple khichdi. So even though it's Mahaprasad, if it's very rich and very sweet, you can only take a limited amount, believe me. You may not believe it, but it's true. Physically, we can only take so much. But the sweetness of the holy name is a different kind of sweetness. I don't know, in English and in Sanskrit, in English we say sweet, here in Sanskrit the word is given madhur. So it means both sweet in the sense of taste of the tongue, but it also means a sweet feeling. Just like you say a sweet song or my sweet heart. I don't know if you say, do you say in your language?
Yes, it's sweet or something.
So this kind of sweetness is not something that becomes unwanted after some time. Rather, those who are tasting the sweetness of the holy name, they like to chant more. Unfortunately, we're not feeling the sweetness. This means that we are in a diseased condition. This is described in the Nectar of Instruction, that the holy name of the Krishna is naturally sweet, just as sugar candy is naturally sweet. But one who is diseased with jaundice, they feel sugar candy to be bitter, taste to them bitter. Nevertheless, the cure for jaundice is to take sugar candy. And the more the jaundiced person takes sugar candy, the more he feels the sweetness. So in the same way, the cure for lack of taste in Krishna consciousness is to go on chanting. And gradually the taste will be appreciated. So this is the first thing. The holy name is the sweetest of all sweets. So we should try to cultivate that taste by chanting our rounds early in the morning. And at other times also, we can also try to chant extra rounds. And there are many names of Krishna which we can call out from time to time. But now it's the Dhamma. So if we sometimes call a Dhamma, we can remember all the pastimes of Dhamma. Or Govardhan Puja is coming up. So if we call out Giridhari, then we can remember all the, just by saying that one name, we can remember all these pastimes. Chanting should be accompanied by hearing. So if we hear about the pastimes of Krishna, then when we say names like Yadava, Madhava, Giridhari, Gopina, then we automatically remember all the different pastimes of Krishna. And in this way, we can more and more taste the sweetness of the holy name. Krishna. Madhuram Madhavevyopi, Mangalevyopi Mangalam. Mangal means that which is auspicious. And Pavanam Pavanam Yogi, it is the most purifying of all purifiers. So Mangal, or that which is auspicious, this makes us think of something which is done to get some pious result. generally people in the Vedic culture perform pious activities for the sake of getting future good karma. And as a result of that, they can go to the heavenly planets and enjoy various material pleasures. And pavana, that which is purifying, that means which frees us from the effects of sinful activities. So auspicious activities and purifying activities, they're often the same or similar. Activities such as visiting holy places, giving in charity, observing vows and fasts, and so on. Such activities are meant to increase our piety, to counteract the effects of sinful activities. But in either case, the holy name is the most auspicious activity and the most purifying activity. Because by chanting Hare Krishna, we get the most auspicious result. People perform pious activities for the sake of going to the heavenly planets. But chanting Hare Krishna takes us beyond the heavenly planets and up to the spiritual world. And as far as destroying sinful activities is concerned, the holy name is the most efficacious. So therefore, the holy name is the most auspicious activity, chanting on them is the most auspicious activity, and is the most purifying of all purifiers. Now the next verse is as follows. Brahma stamba pariyantam sarva aya mayam jagat satyam satyam guna satyam arayanama eva kevalam. This means that from Brahma sitting at the top of the universe down to the insignificant clump of grass, the whole universe is pervaded by maya. Maya means that which is not. So from the topmost planet in the universe, from the topmost living being in the universe down to the bottom, the whole atmosphere is pervaded with this atmosphere of sense enjoyment, of accepting that which is temporary to be real. Everyone is, every living being is in the Buddha, because they don't know what the reality is. They don't know, I'm not Brahma, I'm not a blade of grass, I'm not the self of Krishna. So, chanting the holy name, especially when accompanied by hearing from pure devotees, this puts us in connection with reality. Reality means to understand that I am the eternal servant of Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna means to pray to Krishna, please reinstate me in my constitutional position of service to you. Therefore, here it is said, satyam satyam punah satyam. This is reality. This is reality. Again I say, this is reality. The holy name is now. Saguru sapita chapi samata bandhavo visa shikshiget chit sada smartum harayan nama eva kevalam. This means that the person who teaches us to chant Hare Krishna is the real guru, is the real father and mother, and is the real friend. So these are all well wishes. Everyone needs some help and friendship. So these are the natural friends and helpers. Guru, father, mother, friend. But the real guru, father, mother, friend, or well-wisher in any capacity, is the one who teaches us to chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada taught so many things. So many things. It's just amazing how much spiritual knowledge Prabhupada gave. What to speak of spiritual knowledge, even material knowledge. Prabhupada gave knowledge of how to live in this material world in a civilized manner. Down to the details. Prabhupada taught so much. The essence of everything that he taught was to chant. Everything else is required also. The whole Vaishnava culture that Prabhupada taught required. Some of it is not required. It's very much required. But the essence of it all is to chant. So the real, our real well-wisher is one who teaches us to chant. Sometimes devotees come to us, oh, I have so many problems. So many suggested solutions can be given. But the best of all advice is instead of thinking we can improve our lives by making so many adjustments, we simply have faith in the holy names. That is the best of all advice. Hare Krishna.
Maybe.
You're not allowed in here. You should go out. But I'm Tila. Do you have tilak? I can't see it. I don't see it. We have a secret society here. Only people with tilak allowed. Look, the host. You were shocked. You arrived after coming such a long distance. And it was immediately said to her. But only only for 2 minutes. You're welcome. Not welcome at all. Hare Nam Eva Kevalam and put on Tila. So, next verse. Nishvase Nahi Vashvaso Kadavu Pova Vishuti Girtaniya Mato Balyad Hare Nam Eva Kevalam. Nishvas means breathing out. There's another word that says Ashvas, which means breathing in. So here he said, Nishvase Nahi Vishvasa. You cannot trust or you cannot depend upon your breathing out. Because when you breathe out, there's no guarantee that you will breathe in again. And vice versa. When you breathe out, there's no guarantee that you'll breathe in again. How many times do we breathe in and out in 1 hour?
16 times in a minute.
16 times in a minute. He's a doctor, he should know.
Fine doctor.
I had just a few weeks ago, I was in England, also one of my devotees is a doctor, so I asked him, he said the same thing. I just tested to see if he was
sorry.
8 liters of air.
Чего-то мы тогда далеко уже. Что каждый знает.
So, we don't think, when we're breathing in and out, we don't think about it. We take it for granted. But there is no guarantee that when you breathe out, you'll breathe in again. At any moment, you can just stop. There are so many instances of heart attack or someone getting shot unexpectedly. President Kennedy driving in the parade, waving to everybody,
being
praised by everybody. He's on just, this is like the summit of his career, you see. All of a sudden, his career came to an end. There are so many instances. And even young people, it's not just that old people die young. Old people die, but young people also die young. We used to hear about people of age 50 or 60 or older getting heart attacks. Then we started hearing about many people age 30 getting heart attacks. Now also teenagers are getting heart attacks sometimes.
Teenagers, especially now, for the younger ones.
Now it's started, the age is coming down. So, you don't know when you're going to die. Don't think that now I shall watch TV and when I'm 97 years old, I'll chant Hare Krishna. Because you're thinking, well, I'll be 97, but by that time you could already change body 5 times. And not every body is suitable, not every body. Suitable for chanting Hare Krishna. Human form of life gives us the opportunity to chant Hare Krishna. Therefore, young people, old people, all people should be encouraged to chant Hare Krishna. It's so important. Even there are cases of, you see, they're watching the TV and then their team scores a goal and then they get so excited they get a heart attack. So be careful. The best way to be careful is to chant Hare Krishna. Don't take risks. I don't think I will play with Maya. That's the story of children playing with fire. Fire is Maya. If you play with fire, then you're in danger of being burned. So better that we should base our lives upon chanting of the holy names and engaging in Krishna's service. Those who are seriously practicing Krishna consciousness understand that you become free from the dirty things in your heart. It's not such an easy thing. You have to practice Krishna consciousness very seriously to have any hope of becoming actually purified. So if we're not really trying to become purified, instead of removing the dirty things from our heart, we're busy putting more things on, then where is the question of becoming purified? Real chanting Hare Krishna means not simply from the lips, from the heart. We have to be very serious. In that place where his devotees are chanting his names in love, Krishna is everywhere, God is everywhere. But we cannot appreciate God's presence everywhere. We can attain God, or we can come in contact with God through the association of his devotees. Because Krishna is attracted to that place where his devotees are chanting his name. Krishna is everywhere. But he manifests himself, or he makes himself available, where his devotees are seriously chanting his name. So we should try to associate the devotees with seriously chanting. That means with dhiravrata, with the firm resolve to become Krishna conscious. That will make it much easier to advance the Krishna consciousness, good association. Then, aho dukam maha dukam dukat dukaturam yataha kacchartam visvatam ratnam haram nama imakimam. Here he says, aho dukam, what misfortune, how unhappy. Maha dukam, it is a great misfortune. Dukat dukaturam yataha, it is the most unhappy thing of all unhappy things. What is he talking about? The holy name is all blissful. What is the unhappiness? The unhappiness is this, that ignorant people, they neglect the holy name. They do not recognize its glories. Just like a priceless diamond is, to a layman, it appears to be just like a piece of broken glass. They take it to be something worthless, or maybe even some nuisance to be thrown away. They don't know what is its value. The holy name is invaluable. Diamond has some price. Even a very expensive diamond may cost more than $1 million. But it has some price. But the holy name is priceless, beyond price. You can't purchase with money. And there is no material way to estimate its value, because it is of a completely different category to anything material. But on the other hand, it's also free. Available, the holy name is available to everybody. But most people, they don't recognize its value. Or they may even take it to be a disturbance. How unfortunate. How people are wasting their lives. Would you like to give some paths for us? So devotees, they're very busy to preach Krishna consciousness, to try to make people aware of the value of chanting the holy name of Krishna. Because devotees are very sorry to see people spoiling their lives without knowing the value of the holy name. Niyatam niyatam karno niyatam niyatam vachaha kiyatam niyatam nityam haran nama eva kevalam. So niyatam niyatam karno, put it again and again in your ear, put the holy name again and again. There are two ways of doing this. One is by speaking the holy name, it's by jap, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and the other is by singing the holy names. So either jap or kirtan, we should always try to place the holy name in our ears. And not only in our ears, but in our heart. Real kirtan is not produced by the lips, but from the heart. And it manifests through the lips and enters the ears and again goes to the heart. Trini kritya jagat sarvam rajate sakalopari chidanandam maya shuddham harem nam. This holy name, the holy name, is not different from Krishna. And as such, he rules above everything. Everything in the whole universe compared to the holy name is no more significant than a piece of grass. Because the holy name is of a different quality to anything of this material. Just like you can have tons of coal and one valuable diamond. The diamond is more valuable because it's of a different quality. Actually, diamond and coal, it's the same substance only. Both simply carbon. But one is of a different quality and therefore priceless, and the other is just coal. So in the same way, everything in the material world is, in one sense, the same as Krishna. But at the same time, Krishna is in different categories to everything else in this world. This material world is basically contaminated. Whereas Krishna is always pure. The holy name of Krishna is none different from Krishna. The holy name is always pure. Therefore, we should chant Hare Krishna. I'm sure you've all heard before, and you're also doing. This is a very nice poem. I thought I would share with you to give some more encouragement in chanting Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Is there any question about this?
I'd like to ask you, how can you change from the heart?
Yeah, this is one of those how-to questions. How can we be sincere? How can we be determined? How can we chant from that? Hey, yeah, bring up Prabhu. And he's gone. Now, one thing, when Prabhupada was asked about how can we be sincere. Prabhupada said, just be sincere. So that's up to you. In other words, it's up to you. If we want to be rascal, we can be rascal. If we want to be sincere, we can be sincere. But another, so one answer to this kind of question is that, well, we have to ourselves make the effort and make the decision to how we want to live our lives. Ultimately, it depends upon us. We have all good instructions. It's up to us to implement them in our lives. Now, there are other approaches that can be taken to this question also. One good advice is to always seek good association. That if we associate with devotees who are sincere and praying to Krishna and serious to serve Krishna, then we will also pick up on their mood, isn't it? A good association is really important. And dhṛḍa-vṛtāḥ, following with firm determination, that means to follow the rules and regulations of devotional service.
And you said,
sometimes we always say, oh, just following the rules and regulations, that's not the real thing. The real thing has to come from the heart. But the two things are not contradictory or mutually exclusive. If we actually from the heart want to serve Krishna, then we'll follow the rules and regulations very carefully. And the rules and regulations of devotional service are given by Shastra and the Acharyas to bring out our heart's feelings. The rules and regulations, they are that we should rise early, attend Mangala Arati, hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. So all these activities, they awaken feelings for Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna, if we go on chanting, then naturally hearing, and naturally this gradually the feelings for Krishna will awaken. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Shadha Kabunari Shravanadi Shuddha Chitikari Udoya. Everyone is by nature Krishna conscious. That Krishna conscious is now dormant within our hearts. But the process of hearing and chanting brings out the dormant Krishna consciousness. So we should follow the process of Krishna consciousness. Associate with serious devotee. And it's very helpful also to read the prayers of the Vaishnava Acharyas. What are their heart's feelings? This is very useful for evoking the feelings for Krishna within our own hearts. The Shikshashtaka, if we actually enter into the spirit of that, it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is praying from his heart, is he not? So if we enter into the, if we try to enter into the mood of that, then definitely our hearts will also become softened. This song, Gopinath by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's also taking the position of a hard-hearted materialist. So we can identify ourselves with our stone-hearted position of having no love for Krishna. But despite that stone-heartedness, that deep inside there is some desire, I want to be Krishna conscious. So we should cultivate this. Preaching Krishna conscious is also a very good sadhana for ourselves, because when we go among the non-devotees and see that, we may be thinking I'm far away from Krishna, but when we see people who are actually they're even further away, then the desire to become Krishna conscious, that also awakens within our hearts. And when we see how much people are suffering from lack of Krishna consciousness, then our own desire to become Krishna conscious awakens more.
In one hand, it is said that the guru knows the heart of his disciple. And on the other hand, when we see that some disciple is in Maya, he's watching TV regularly or he's breaking regulative principles, is it okay that we notify his guru about that, even without the knowledge of that person?
Of course.
Naram.
The guru is not omniscient. It's one of the many ongoing controversies around the world. Krishna is omniscient. The guru is not omniscient. He doesn't know everything that's happening in every time, place, and circumstance. He knows as much as Krishna reveals to him. So he can inform the guru. And actually, if the disciple is doing this, that means they don't care for the guru anymore. Maybe difficult case. Just like in medicine, there are some difficult cases. But if there's a lung cancer patient who insists on continuing to smoke 40 cigarettes a day, it's difficult to do anything to help. The guru can help as much as the disciple agrees to accept that. We hear so much talk that have to get the right guru, but you also have to be the right disciple. You can have the best guru in the world, but if you're nonsense, you're not a disciple. Guru gives good instruction, you have to follow. Any other question?
Yes.
You don't have tilaka?
Yeah, I have a red one.
Red one? We don't accept.
You don't?
Come put some tilak. You're the leader here, you have to set a good example. Please put some tilak and I'll accept your question. Don't mind. Don't mind. At least in this society. We're so fortunate that we have tilak all the way from India. In the early days of ISKCON, we didn't have. Used to get this clay that they use for making the pots, they used to put them inside. There wasn't so much business in those days. There weren't so many devotees, so it wasn't a good business.
Yeah.
So, what is your question? Yes.
I have an experience in chanting and I would like to share it with you. And I would like you to give your comment on that.
You're chanting nicely in the morning?
Yes, and I don't take prasadam even before. There are different kinds of days in the week. When some days when I really do it with a good quality and I can hear a piece of holy name. But there are days when it's just not reaching me. I was trying to keep track of the days. I almost get some kind of a rules in that, but then it all goes around. Which day was easier, which day was harder. So even when I chant my rounds nicely and I go to meet people who are not chanting the holy name, or at least they're not showing it, very quickly or in a short period of time I lose that pure energy. And when everything goes by, then I ask myself, why didn't I remember Krishna? Although the pictures are all around me. I can look at the pictures, but I don't see. Can you please help me to reach some depth in this?
Well, Krishna is a person. And he's not a cheap person, isn't he? He doesn't just make himself available cheaply and freely to everyone all the time. Even sometimes if devotees are trying very hard, still sometimes he doesn't reveal himself. We have the example of Narad Muni, who had a vision of the Lord, and then the Lord again vanished from him. And then he heard the voice of the Lord, which said that, I am not showing myself to you now, so that you will be more eager to try to attain me more and more. So sometimes Krishna shows himself, and sometimes reveals himself, and sometimes he doesn't. This way he makes his devotees more and more eager to get his association. And this is true for neophyte devotees and for highly advanced devotees. It's even for the gopis. So we should sincerely try to serve Krishna. Sometimes Krishna will manifest himself more to us, sometimes not. But that is the incentive to go on trying more and more and more and more. But Krishna is independent, and he reveals himself to us as he likes to do so. Even if we chant very nicely, it's not that Krishna is obliged to show himself to us. Generally, he will do. That's also, the devotee then also has to analyze in his heart that what are the anartas that are keeping me away from Krishna. That even though we may be chanting and nicely and following everything nicely, but there may be different anartas which we haven't recognized, which are in our hearts. So Krishna wants to see that we are fully purified. It's a big job, so we have to keep on trying. Any other questions about this? I think everyone is ready for some. I have some prasad. I was just in London a few days ago. In order to get me some Mahaprasad, I was offered to Radha Landanishwara and distribute some of that. Krishna is very kind. Even we're not chanting so intensely, but if we have any connection with Krishna, Krishna will always give us prasanna.